All right, folks, welcome back to the Mountain West Wire Football Podcast, midseason recap edition. Check us out, MWWire.com, Facebook, Twitter, MWC Wire. Just Google search Mountain West Wire, or Matt, if you're feeling up to it, go to ask.com and search there and see what shows up.
Yeah, I guess that's true, huh?
When I was in San Francisco or the Bay Area, I went past the ask.com building. I'm like, oh, that's a thing still?
It is.
Apparently, it's thriving well enough to... It's not Ask Jeeves. I remember Ask Jeeves, the little Butler logo. That was impressive.
That's, yeah.
All right, so this show, let's get to it right now. We don't need to waste time because we want to get through this because we have recording double duty today. You'll get two podcasts on Thursday, October 18th. Is that today?
That is correct.
Oh, boy. Almost Halloween. This show, recap of the midseason of the Mountain West. We'll go through some disappointments, surprises, all-conference team, people fighting us because, Matt, you gotta. Are you with the Fresno State Mob against us on the all-conference team you voted on?
Hey, all I'm going to say is don't blame me for that. Blame everybody else. Oh! I voted for a lot of Bulldogs. I'm not going to lie.
Hold on. Did you vote for Keyshawn Johnson?
No, I did not. We'll talk about that.
We'll get that later. So this is sort of take two, or not sort of. It is because my computer crashed. And the good thing, Matt, is only 5 minutes in this time, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Not too bad. So let's kind of relive our conversation a bit. We were talking about biggest disappointments, biggest from our preseason, from our staff projections. I guess our biggest miss on the good end, we start with the Hawaii, because, Matt, you need to start telling people, or yourself go to Nevada, or maybe it'll be legal in California by the time next season comes around. Let people know your 2-win projected team from this year, who we already know, and then we'll parlay that next year to a 10-win conference championship contender.
Yeah, can we call it the Matt doesn't believe in you reverse jinx?
That's kind of long. What about the Kennerly effect?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that has a nice ring to it, maybe.
We need a hashtag. That's like sounds like a scientific study.
Yeah, because this is basically the third year in a row where a team that I projected to win 2 games is at least at a minimum in very good shape to earn bowl eligibility. And it could be the third year in a row, you know, following Wyoming 2 years ago and Fresno State last year, that a team wins the division.
Who was it the year before, you know, then? Because you had...
I had Fresno State winning 2 games last year, and then 2 years ago it was Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming. Okay, I was trying to think of the prior team.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's fine. Oh, excuse me. Jeez, I had a weird snort cough thing going on. That's kind of awkward. All right, so who'd you pick at 2 wins this year? Do you have that readily available in front of you?
I do. I actually had 3 teams projected to win 2 games this year. San Jose State has been...
They might not win 2.
Sadly, kind of on the money. And then I also had New Mexico going 2-10 as well. And they've surprised me a little bit, especially on the offensive end.
Who was your third team?
Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. That's why. So, interesting. All right. So, maybe Lobos? We'll see. I don't know. Just wait until our preseason show next year before you place your bets. All right. So, Hawaii, obviously, Cole McDonald, running through the offense, running through every team possible except for our terrible BYU call. Are they? They're going to get bowl eligible. They have one more win on the schedule, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the schedule difficulty definitely gets more difficult from here because, of course, they haven't played San Diego or Fresno.
And Utah State as well.
And Utah State. So they get the big three. But at least according to S&P Plus, they are projected to win 2 more games this year. So they have that to look forward to.
They'll get to that. Okay, so the other end of the spectrum, we mentioned before, yours was Colorado State. The opposite end. Because, and as I mentioned before, like our staff projection, I'm trying to pull them up again since my computer was being so friendly. We had CSU, what, third?
I think so, yeah.
I'm trying to check here. I don't want to type and go. But the Mountain Division was kind of Boise State and everybody else. Nobody really had an idea because Wyoming was picked second by the media. I think it was CSU, Utah State. But I think the problem was we know it's a defense. It's been utterly worse than we thought it could be, right? Because Colorado is not very good. They give up 40 points. We didn't know what to make of Hawaii the first week of the season because you nailed it, though. You're like, they'll be fun to watch if nothing else. And they're very fun to watch and good, which is even better. But the defense with new coordinators, not very good. Offense outside of KJ Carter-Samuels. But overall, line play and running play has been the big disappointment for me.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I thought that even despite a lot of new skill position players, that they would be able to hold on to most of what they were able to do last year on offense. And, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. The running game has been a huge disappointment, especially Izzy Matthews. He's only averaging 3.9 yards per carry. And I mean, despite the duo of Preston Williams and Olabisi Johnson, like they haven't been as explosive on offense as you might expect either. Certainly not as explosive as they were with Johnson and Michael Gallup last year. And the defense, which I thought would take a step forward with the new coordinator, mm-hmm. you know, they've shown some signs of life in the last couple of weeks, but for most of 2018 so far, it's just been not very good. So while there are some things you can kind of hold on to and say, you know, these are the kinds of things that could lead to a turnaround for the Rams, I think there's no doubt. I mean, I had them winning 9 games before the year and finishing 6-2 in conference. So for me, that's been the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, because look at their schedule the rest of the way. There's a path to 6 wins. Wyoming, at Nevada, at Air Force, potentially. Not mm-hmm. likely, but there's a chance it could happen. For me, I guess it's Nevada because I was too high in Nevada. They're my super dark horse. They hung around Boise State. They had chances. Offense hasn't been like the Vanderbilt game kind of really ticked me off where they did nothing against Vanderbilt. Just really quick right now, I clicked on FPI for that Nevada CSU game inadvertently. They're giving Nevada 75% chance to win that game, if you're wondering.
Interesting.
But like Nevada, like the Vanderbilt game was terrible. Toledo, they played okay, a lot of points. Fresno, they just couldn't do anything. I'd say their defense is probably not as bad as we thought it'd be because Malik Reed with the position change has been quite well. I think he made our midseason team. But it's just they don't seem to have a complete team yet. Because, yeah, they're beating teams. They probably should beat Air Force, minor upset on the road. But, like, yeah, beat Oregon State. That should happen. Beat Portland State. Yeah. They've been winning against teams we thought they'd do. I just kind of thought, like, well, Vanderbilt doesn't seem to be very good. Maybe Toledo because of points. They're in there. But they're still, I think, maybe bowl games. They got Hawaii. San Jose State, UNLV, I think the bowl game's in their future. Would you agree?
I mean, I definitely do. I had them at 7-5 before the season, and I remember our conversation about whether we liked Nevada or UNLV more as a dark horse in the West. I think the thing about Nevada, especially when you look at how they've done on the season so far, is that we haven't seen the offense and the defense kind of show up in the same game, except for maybe the Air Force game, mm-hmm. where you know the defense gave them a chance to win early, and the offense did enough to kind of keep the Falcons at bay. But other than that, you know, we saw an offensive explosion against Toledo, for instance, but they couldn't stop the Rockets at all. You know, we saw, you know, one half of really great play against Oregon State, and then they kind of had to hang on for that particular win. And then the defense played, I think, pretty well against Fresno State, but the offense without Ty Ganji was a little bit limited. So I think that there's definitely a chance that there's still going to be a headache for the rest of the teams in the West Division, especially. Like they're not favored to win at Hawaii or home against San Diego State, but I do think that they've got a chance to make things really interesting if they could pull an upset or two.
Yeah, and then who knows the end of year UNLV because is Armani Rogers going to be healthy and back to play?
Yeah.
So that's hard to tell, but that's the team. Should we go to the all-conference team real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we put out the ballots to our staff, and I think overall we did a pretty good job. So here's, if you haven't heard or what's going on, here's how it went out. Best coach, Matt Wells, Utah State. Is that who you voted for?
I must have missed that form,
to be honest. I did a couple. I did one that was offensive, one that was defensive, and then one that was kind of some topics.
Okay, I think I missed that topics one.
So who would you have voted for?
I think I would have voted for Jeff Tedford.
That's where some Fresno fans are getting at us. From the votes that came in, it was all Nick Rolovich or Matt Wells.
See, here's the thing. I think there are at least 4 guys that you could make a reasonable argument for. Mm-hmm. Like, just because I would have voted for Tedford doesn't mean that the arguments for Wells and, at least in my opinion, Rolovich and Rocky Long mm-hmm. are pretty sound. You know, for the Aztecs, despite missing a couple of their biggest offensive stars, they've been able to claw their way to a lot of close wins. And you know, obviously, Utah State's taken the step forward that a lot of Aggies fans expected, especially on offense. They've just been blowing the doors off of everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's about, you know, the Bulldogs are kind of doing the opposite of what Utah State's been doing, where the offense has definitely taken a step forward, but it's been all about the defense in the San Joaquin Valley. And then, of course, with Hawaii, you know, they had the big run early in the year where they were, you know, high flying offense and a defense that was just good enough to get by. So, you know, obviously all those teams are definitely going to be in the mix going forward. And I would not be surprised by any of those guys winning that same honor at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's where some people are upset. It's like, well, why is it Tedford? Why is it not Tedford? Like, well, there's a couple ways you can look at it. Exceeding expectations, which is where Rolovich and Wells come into play. That's a good argument for be coach of the year. And like I said, Rocky Long losing players, but still winning. And then what Tedford's doing, they just keep winning and had one blip of the radar where they could have won. But at the end of the year, it's likely going to be it's usually the coach that wins a conference. Right? It's because they announced
most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Do they announce this after the title game? Is that correct?
Oh, I don't remember that off the top of my head.
I forget. But it's usually going to be the team that wins the conference. So if it's going to be the best coach at the end of the year, it's going to be one of those four regardless. Even I guess even if Boise State does get to the division and win the conference, I don't know if it would go to Harsin. Maybe it would. But it's going to be one of those four, and Harsin probably a middling fifth behind those guys.
Although here's a fun fact, though.
What's that?
Just to kind of disrupt your argument that you're making, four of the last five coaches to win Coach of the Year did not win the conference.
Okay, then I'm completely wrong. I just said, so who were they?
The only coach to win the conference was Rocky Long in 2015. But, you know, moving backwards from last season.
Wait, Brian Harsin didn't get it the year before and they went to the Fiesta Bowl?
Brian Harsin has never won Coach of the Year.
Who won it that year?
That would be Jim McElwain.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So going backwards, it's been Tedford, Craig Bohl, Long, McElwain, and then Matt Wells in 2013.
I am sort of surprised. I guess that Craig Bohl was the same year New Mexico tied for the conference, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Also, one quick note, like the dominance of Fresno State, we'll get to later. People are like, oh, Utah State, they are doing amazing. They're winning by so many points. Did you know margin of victory of Fresno is better than Utah State? Oh, no, crap, they were. Not anymore. Never mind. Disregard. I looked for that 2 weeks ago. It's close, though. Fresno State's margin of victory is 16.2. Utah State's 21.2. But, yeah, but never mind. It was
that
different.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
A couple weeks ago, Fresno State was ahead of that margin, so.
Well, I mean, Utah State keeps scoring 50 points a game, so.
But you can look at it two ways. Utah State scored a ton of points. They're allowing a decent amount of points as well. Whereas Fresno State, like, look, they won 21-3. The margin of victory, what's more impressive, 21-3 or like 50-32? That's kind of nitpicky, but that's my point. It's like, well, maybe 21-3 is more dominant because your defense stood up and didn't give up nothing.
So what about offensive and defensive player of the year? Because if you haven't looked at the article, our offensive player of the year was Cole McDonald, Hawaii quarterback. And our defensive player of the year was Utah State linebacker David Woodward. So were those your choices?
Yes, they were. They're both. Well, I mean, sorry, I voted for them. I didn't make these picks. Let me rephrase that. Those are the two players I voted for.
So since I didn't see that form, who were the options for offensive player of the year?
I let people fill in whoever they wanted. Same with defense. Okay. I did not go. I'm double defense for sure because there's so many defenders. I'm like, just I'll leave it open ended. And the defense, which is quite interesting, the way the vote went out, it was two votes. There's about 10. Not everybody voted, unfortunately. We had about 10 votes. Two votes for David Woodward, a single vote for everybody else, for like seven other players.
All right.
And so it's like, and looking through, it's like you can't argue. And I go through the numbers and I put up the article. Woodward is, when you look at his numbers, we'll stick with defense here. He was top 10. He was the only player in the conference top 10 in total tackles, tackles for loss, and sacks. And then I go deeper in it because people played 5 to 7 games. In a per-game basis, because he missed one game, so average per game, he's at worst 6th in every category in those three. So looking at that, that's fair. I think that's well-deserved, right? Or is somebody else you would have voted for? Or who did you vote for? Or you missed that form. I forgot. Sorry.
So
it's hard. It's hard to pick.
So,
like,
so let me frame it like this. I might be about to have another Leighton Vander Esch moment right now. Because are we sure he's even the defensive player of the year on his own defense?
The other vote was for Toppy there, the other guy.
Tipa Galiai.
Tipa
Galiai has been insanely good this year.
He has been insanely good.
And he's just been better across the board than Woodward. I mean, other than obviously total tackles, but he has an advantage in tackles for loss, sacks, run stuffs. He has a pick six. He's forced two fumbles. And, you know, while both of those guys have been really good, they've both been kind of the leading reasons why Utah State ranks in the top 40 as far as havoc rate is concerned among linebackers. I mean, if it were me, if I were picking Utah State defenders, I probably would have picked Galliai.
It's fair. And also, if you look at Woodward, just some more numbers, like he has a one pass defended and a forced fumble as well. So it was close. Like, everybody voted. Like, there is one for Jabril Frazier. A handful of guys voted. So we might, but also we get messages from a certain defensive player in the conference, likes to DM us occasionally. He's like, you just look at stats. I'm like, well, there are players where they can make an impact if they, like cornerbacks. Like, not to say a cornerback would get this award, but they may not throw to you and you take away half the field. And so we don't watch that closely for guys like that. But an argument can be made for both. I feel Woodward's fine, but maybe I did vote for Woodward because I looked at overall. I guess tackles, it's whatever, but the pick six versus BYU and other things he's done, more disruptive, but
I feel personally responsible for this outcome.
It could have been a tie.
It could have been a tie. Because you know who I would have voted for? And I'm not going to make you change the article now or anything.
Too late.
Would have voted for Malik Reed.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Why is that?
Because, you know, one, he had a position switch that nobody else in the conference had to deal with, you know, moving from defensive line to linebacker.
And I believe he did get a vote as well. I'm double checking, though.
And two, he's been insanely good as a linebacker. You know, he has 5 sacks. He has 9.5 tackles for loss. He has 3 forced fumbles. So he has been, you know, every bit as good as he was when he had his hand in the dirt on every play. And I mean, I think you could definitely make cases for a few different guys. I think Galliai probably would have been my runner up if I had a choice. Well, I guess I did have a choice and I just neglected it.
Yeah, Matt, you ruined everything.
I ruined everything. I apologize. I apologize especially to all the Nevada fans out there.
We'll get to offense in a second. I made an error on that. But let me see real quick. Defense. Where'd it go? I'm looking at the list here. Here's the players who got votes, if you're wondering. Josh Watson, Malik Reed, Andrew Wingard, David Woodward, Jabril Frazier, Tyler Horton, David Woodward, Jelani Tavai, and Galliai.
So, I mean, I think most of those have reasonable cases.
They do. So we'll see. But you're right. I don't know. It's tough. Like, there's a lot of good defenders, and we're halfway through the season. So if Tippa happens to keep going, and Woodward maybe takes a step back a little bit, or maybe Malik Reed does something amazing for Nevada. So we'll see. But there's a lot of good players, right?
Definitely.
I wouldn't say nobody's complained. I had one Utah State guy. So how close was it for Tippa to get there? I'm like, well, there's like an 8-way tie for second.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to offense real quick. This is an interesting note. It was a Cole McDonald who, you know, it's interesting. I did the same thing where I'm like, hey, put who you want. Nobody voted for Josh Love.
Well, why would they vote for Josh Love?
Utah State fans are coming after me saying
No. Josh Love is San Jose State's quarterback.
No.
You might be referring to Jordan Love.
Gosh, yeah. Good call. Jordan Love, he got 0 votes. The people who voted for, we had 7 for Cole McDonald, 2 for Brett Rypien, and 1 for Marcus McMarion. Where would your vote would have gone, Matt, had you been responsible to vote?
had I been responsible, I probably would have voted for McDonald as well. Because while I do think that there's a very solid case for Love, the one big thing I come down to is McDonald has had more responsibility thrust upon him as a passer than any other quarterback in the conference. And I think that, you know, despite his most recent struggles against BYU, he has answered the bell better than anybody could have anticipated coming into the year. You know, 64% completion rate, 26 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And while there's no doubt that Jordan Love has been very good,
Three-time player of the week.
That's true. But he just hasn't had to do quite as much to get the offense to where it needs to be.
Yeah, and also, it is part of a numbers game because look what McDonald's done for the run and shoot. But also, if you look at, McDonald, how do you play versus Wyoming? He could have 30 touchdowns. He doesn't. But the 3 picks, for the amount of times they throw, only 3 interceptions is amazing. He throws 8 more times per game than Jordan Love. He has a better quarterback rating, obviously more yards per game because of the offense. He has a better completion percentage, 67-64. Yards per attempt are the same. And so it's also midseason stuff is typically a numbers game. You know what I mean? It's like he's just outpacing in total yards. I know he's played in six games out of seven. Next closest guy is like 400 yards behind him in KJ Carter Samuels. And so he's 335 per game. It's like, and also, what about running him? Well, he has 300 plus rushing yards to Love's 20 something, couple touchdowns. He doesn't get sacked very often. So it's like, I'm fine. There's some Utah State fans. Where's Love? Why is he out there? I'm like, well, he's been great. He's been very good, but.
That's true. I mean, McDonald has literally run, after you adjust for sacks, he's run for literally five times as many yards as Love has.
I know. It's like, come on, people. It's not disrespect. It's not like it's if you like him, you hate him. It's like, no, it's fine. I felt that was appropriate. There are some Utah State fans getting after us. I'm like, okay, cool.
So what about the teams themselves? What are your thoughts on what we came up with?
The teams? I will say, here's who we have real quick. There was one error. Wyoming guy got after us a bit. I guess we didn't look closely enough. But Cole McDonald was quarterback, obviously. Lexington running back was weird because we thought running back would be amazing. Lexington Thomas, UNLV, despite the past 2 weeks that were poor. And Darwin Thompson, Utah State.
See, I almost wondered whether Thompson and Bright would split the vote somehow because they've both been really good.
They split a little bit. Let me pull it up here. I'll grab it in a minute. But there was at least one or two votes for Thompson. One guy we neglected, or people didn't vote for, is Nico Evans, which we should have seen. I don't know why we did. He missed, maybe because he missed a couple games, but he has the most yards by a mile, and he didn't even make the list.
Yeah, that might have been an oversight on everybody's part.
Yeah, it's because if you go to like CFB stats, like if you just go to the normal setting, he's not showing up because of the amount of games he plays. He's only played five. He's averaged 134 yards per game. He has which is because if you sort by that, he doesn't appear. I don't know why he doesn't appear. Maybe people are sorting and didn't notice that. You can only notice him if you see total yards. And number two is Lexington Thomas at 552. And I admitted Jawad Washington because he didn't play, he missed a couple games. But Nico Evans, he's played five. I don't know. Maybe people don't see it. Four TDs. He should be on the list. But like Thompson, he's doing great. Bright, doing good. But it's that's what he picked. But I think that'll change end of the year if Nico Evans can actually. Because look at what he's going up against. Look how many guys are in the box. Like they just forcing him to run the ball, and he's doing the job. He had a slow start, but he does two big games. And so that's probably the biggest miss on our staff side, not picking Nico Evans.
So what about other spots that kind of caught your attention? Because for me, figuring out who to vote for at wide receiver was really hard.
It wasn't hard for me. I picked the two best guys.
So who did you vote for?
I voted for John Ursura and Preston Williams, and those are the first two guys on the list.
Now, see, I feel like you're disrespecting McClain Mannix right there.
He got some votes. What argument would you make? Why would you put him in there instead of Williams, I'm assuming?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say who I would have kicked out.
That's what you got to say.
There's a reason, like when I set up the preseason vote that I allowed for three receivers. So we about something like this.
Sorry, I put two running backs, two receivers. I chose a tight end. So I now have done a tight end? But Josh Oliver is really good.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, like, he's been every bit the big receiver, especially big play receivers down the field that he was last year. You know, as far as 20-yard plays are concerned, he's, you know, the only person he trails is John Ursua. And he is tied with Preston Williams, 10 catches of over 20-plus yards. So I think that he definitely had a very strong argument. And, you know, maybe Keyshawn Johnson as well, even though he doesn't have quite as many opportunities because Fresno State tends to be a little more conservative on offense.
That was a big one as well. That was one people were complaining about. I'm like, well, maybe with Mannix, let's you fish a second. But Mannix, maybe people are looking. He only has 29 catches. Maybe that's why. And
that 29 catches, 19.4 yards.
I get that. I'm just saying, maybe like, well, why is he not that productive in offense, which – they pass it around to a lot of different players. So maybe people are looking into catches like per game receptions. He only has four. Whereas like Ursura, 8, Williams, 7.4. Even Keyshawn Johnson, who has only 38, is at 6.3 and still well ahead of Mannix. So maybe people looked at that way, looked at it that way.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't have any real complaints with the two guys that got chosen because it seems like Williams, for one, is making an impossible play every other week, and Ursua has just been flat out the most productive receiver in the conference, if not the country so far. So yeah, it's just one of those things where you feel bad for leaving people out because there's at least four or five guys that have really good arguments.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Maybe what should I do? Because on defense, we'll go to in a second. I my list I emailed out. I'm like, pick three linebackers, three defensive linemen, and I'll decide who gets the most votes to do a 3-4-4-3. I don't know because and then some guy from CSU said, "Hey, where's the fullback spot?" I'm like, "Well, it's
Fullback
freaking
spot.
fullback." Yes,
What is
exactly.
this, 1978?
Also, he picked a CSU. I'm like, "No, I'd pick the Air Force fullback, right? If I'm gonna pick one, right? That's the one you go
Cole
with."
Fagan, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, I meant like, if you're gonna pick a fullback, pick one from the triple option team. So pick one from Air Force or whatever New Mexico does. So override offensive lineman, that was a tricky one. There was a couple ties like Colby Meeks, Quinn Fickle in the center. I kind of went off to voting for who on my list just so I'm how I made it. I went through who started every game because you gave me an idea. Check out the game notes. Who started every position in every game? So if they start every game at their position, they should be a nominee. And I also went through like sacks allowed, running statistics. So that's kind of how I put the vote out that way for who to choose. And like offensive lineman, it's tough. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you gonna do? I went through who played. If you play a lot, you're probably pretty good, right? Do you have anything, any complaints on defense at all? Because we do have two Fresno guys in defense, if you're wondering.
Maybe not enough.
You think more?
I mean, I don't know. I'm
There,
just
it's good.
maybe I'm a little biased because the defense has been really good. It's just, it comes down to the arc because I know that we've heard from other people about like why aren't there more Fresno State defenders in particular. It's just that the defense has been so good that the numbers haven't really had an opportunity to pop out. And it's kind of the difference between the fact that like the team leader in tackles for loss only has six, and that's Michael Walker. The team leader in sacks is George Helmuth with three. But then you look at a lot of the measures, especially by Football Study Hall's stat profile, they're still top 10 in team defense success rate and explosiveness in average field position started, and they're in the top 20 as far as finishing drives. So it's less of a testament to one or two guys and more of a conversation of just like as an entire unit, this defense has been insanely good.
That's what I was thinking too. Like there's good guys, but there's not, like I said, not the one or two eye-popping guys outside of a couple. Like when you look at TFLs, five of the top 50 are from Fresno State. They have Walker, who's at six, and then everybody else it's like 4.5, 4, 3.5, or 3. And so they spread it out pretty evenly, and that can be part of it too. Because again, these when you look at this stuff, there's a reason Kalamina Padelo, Hawaii, is like who was up for Defensive Player of the Year for how good he's playing for Hawaii. He leads the league in a lot of categories, and so especially TFLs with 11. I think also sacks with six. I want to say I don't have in front of me, but quite a few. So you're right; it's more of a team effort. But these things are like it's kind of how you do yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just go and look at how many plays Fresno State has had to face this year, the only team that has fewer plays against them, surprisingly, Air Force is number one. They've only had 310 plays run against them.
That's not surprising.
San Diego State's number two, Fresno State's number three. So that has something to do with it as well, I think. But also, yeah, as far as yards per play, oh, by the way, they're number one in that too.
Yeah, and they're number two in points allowed in the country, so.
So if, I mean, if we had a vote for best defense, I think Fresno State would be the
Oh,
clear choice.
yeah, clear, obviously. It's just there's other good players who make plays. And it's like with who was it last year? Oh, crap. Frank Ginda. Tackle machine, amazing. He's going to be on the team because of the production he puts up, and that's part of it because of either how many plays against them for San Jose State last year, or he's linebacker and the defensive line can't tackle the running back and he gets it afterwards in the second level. So there's it's fine. They're the best defense, I think. It's not really that close because, but
I mean, I
these.
think you could definitely make a strong argument for San Diego State as well.
Yeah, but I'd say Fresno's number one.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do a. We're going to wrap up this portion of the podcast. Well, I guess not portion, but we're recording too. But this podcast will be done momentarily. How would you Really quick, what would you say was the best game of the year?
Ooh, that's tough.
Just don't do this. Somebody voted and put not sure.
Well, maybe he was overwhelmed by the selections.
I didn't put a selection. I just said enter your response. I left it up to the voter.
So what about you? What was your selection?
I chose Toledo, Nevada.
So what made you choose that one?
Points. I like points because our buddy Daniel Fresno finally came to the realization that I like offense more than defense.
Mm.
But that was an exciting game, right? 100 plus points, just about. Yeah. Yeah. I just like points. They scored a lot of points. It's an exciting game to watch. Another game I'd consider, Utah State Air Force, was a really good fun game to watch, how that came down to the end because Air Force got close back in there. You can make it Arizona State, San Diego State is an option. The Fresno, Minnesota game. Like, there's quite a few games. Hawaii, Colorado State to start the year.
I mean, I think I would probably go with San Diego State, Boise State right now.
That was kind of ugly, though.
It was kind of, I mean, you say it's ugly. I thought it was more of a defensive fight.
No. I'm talking about the special team stuff. You can't catch a punt. You drop the ball on a kickoff. Those type of things are like, come on. You should be better than that.
Yeah. I like defense.
No, you do. No, that's fine. Now, that's a good. It was a good game as well, but there's parts of it where I'm like, come on, you're doing that. But here are the other options the other answers. People put Hawaii, San Jose State just because it went to 5 overtimes. Are you a fan?
That game was insane and had a lot of twists and turns.
The overtime portion was kind of – it's not anticlimactic, but it's like, come on, you can't make a field goal.
Yeah.
And we also had Nevada, Boise State, which was a pretty good one. Aztecs over Arizona State and one vote for San Diego State Boise State. I'm going to probably do an article. I'm going to bunch here on Thursday and Friday's kind of rapid fire these results real quick. Let's see what else we got here. We're defensive player of the year. Matt, give us your general thoughts on your team so far. That was one of the questions I asked.
My general thoughts are that Minnesota loss is going to look more and more stupid as the season progresses. Because they have looked every bit the team that I expected them to be in the preseason.
Not good.
No, my team has been
great. I thought you referred to Minnesota still. Sorry.
No.
Sorry about that. I apologize. But it is. So if they weren't, I know hypotheticals where I hate this, where would Fresno be ranked if they're undefeated?
Well, I think right now they're in the also receiving votes, are they not?
Barely, which is a crime.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I mean, I think they would probably be somewhere around 23 or 24.
So they'd be behind a 6-0 Cincinnati team?
They probably would be. It would be totally stupid, but they probably would be.
Did you see the Twitter thread? I think I tagged you in it. The guy who keeps voting UCF like 24th or 25th.
I did.
He's not wrong.
I would definitely agree with that.
The funny thing is, like, really quick about that, he's like the voter. Okay, his AP outlier poll, he is kind of out there a little bit. So he's like, is an AP poll tracker that kind of goes your outlier versus the mean? I believe it is.
I think Reddit does that.
Reddit. I saw there used to be a website that did it, but I forgot the link. But he's kind of the outlier, like every week, which is not good because it's kind of by a decent margin. But his logic isn't, it's not foolproof, but it's also not bad because you don't go off of last year's stuff because, yeah, they have a nice winning streak. It's helpful to start the year for some polls, even though it really shouldn't come into impact outside of, like, here's who's returning to consider last year, maybe not the results, but the talent. He made a good point. Any other team who's ranked right now probably would be undefeated with their schedule as well.
Yeah.
And so there's that consideration. You're beating up on bad teams. And if you find, I forget who did it, but we retweeted it, but it's a little nugget there, and that's why teams keep jumping UCF and they'll probably hit a ceiling here at 9 or 10 and be probably 14th when the playoff poll comes out in a week and a half.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All
right,
so let's move on. For a title game prediction, I'll start with mine here. I don't really have a team in the conference because I like University of Utah. Do I need to should I start picking a team every year so I can really dive into it and lean into people hating me more about stuff?
That is entirely up to you. I'll leave it at that.
I'll think about it. We already did biggest. Oh, really quick. I didn't go through these. The biggest positive surprise overall, Hawaii for the group and CSU for the disappointment. Also receiving votes for disappointment, Wyoming and Boise State. I wonder if Raj put that Boise State vote in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Utah State and New Mexico as a big surprise. New Mexico has been a decent surprise for what they've been able to do. Also, let's do this. So projected title game matchup and winner, who would you pick?
I think I'm going to stick with my preseason prediction.
Which was Fresno-Boise?
Fresno-Boise.
So you're saying Utah State's not going to beat Boise State end of the year?
Well, that's what I'm saying right now, sure.
And who would your winner be? Was it still Fresno, I believe?
My winner was Fresno, yeah.
I'm going Fresno State, Utah State. And sorry, but I picked Utah State, Matt.
That's unforgivable.
You're done?
No.
We'll see. I don't know. If you had to pick what's your ideal matchup? What would be the most fun matchup? Would it be Fresno, Utah State? Or would it be like somehow Hawaii and Utah State?
I mean, I think the most fun is usually the most unpredictable matchup. So I think Hawaii, Utah State would be super fun. But also one of those teams is because they play each other later in October?
Something like that.
So, something's going to have to give at some point.
We'll see. I think that'd be the most radical. But I still like to see Utah State, Fresno State, and hopefully it's in Logan so I can make the 90-minute drive to go watch that game in person.
Well, I hope not. I want to make the 5-minute drive.
I know, exactly. You can walk over there to get to it. So
I theoretically could, actually.
Hey, that's fine. We can both be selfish in the same way. Anything else we need to discuss midseason? I think I've gone through all the questions I asked everybody. Best game of the year. Anything else you want to bring up about the midway points?
I think I'm all set.
You don't want to rail the American really quick anymore?
No, I'll save it.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's it. So check it out. We'll have a few more things up on the site, but go to mwr.com. And we have a midseason all Mountain West football team. I'm going to put up a few things like the team, the positive team, negative team, or overachiever, underachiever type stuff throughout the next day or two. So check those out. Please subscribe to our podcast over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, basically wherever you get your podcast. Check that out. And we'll be back for a week 8 preview for you and me, Matt. It'll be like 2 minutes, everybody else. Who knows? Go back to back, folks. See ya.